As you look today outside, it's kind of gloomy, right? Sometimes, a few weeks ago, on the East Coast, there was a big storm coming through. And the whole nation, the news media, I mean, everything you can turn and think about was on saying, there's a storm coming. Are you ready for the storm? Some of you might be going through the storm and it will hit home right away. Some of you will go through the storms, not even once or twice in life. Life is full of storms. So I want you to be prepared and know exactly what you're going to do when storm hits you. Amen? Storms are inevitable. So what are you going to do in the storm? Are you going to fear or are you going to have faith? Amen. Today I want to look into another scripture in the Bible. My topic today is called sleeping in the storm. Okay, sleeping in the storm. We will look at two men today. One of them we looked at last week, but today we will look at the second one more closely. And we're talking about sleeping through the storm. Open your Bibles to Prophet Jonah. It's a small book. It has only four chapters. So it's a small book. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the prophet, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Now Nineveh, as you can see where Israel is, point A, right? Nineveh is in Assyria. So it's kind of, you have to walk on land. All right? And go to that great city of Nineveh and cry out against it. For their wickedness has come before me, says God. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. How can you flee from the presence of the Lord? So look where he's going. He's going to Spain. I mean, that's pretty far on the sea. Instead of going just, you know, I don't know how many miles, maybe 100 miles to Nineveh, he goes about 400 or 300 miles to Tarsus. He wants to flee from the presence of God. Do you remember anybody else who was trying to flee from the presence of God? Cain. Do you remember? He wanted to, after he killed his brother, he wanted to flee from the presence of God. But Bible says, where can you go from my spirit? You cannot flee from God. Don't even try. Because fleeing from God is like going against the wind. It's like dancing against the drum. Well, white people do that all the time, but clapping against the beat. It's going out of the rhythm. It's being at the wrong place at the wrong time. That's what it means to go against God. It's going against the spirit. It's like your boat with a sailboat is trying to travel against the wind. It doesn't work. It's like swimming against the tide or against the river. All right? So Jonah is trying to flee from the presence of God. Now, why is he doing that? Because Jonah is a prophet to a holy nation of Israel. And God is telling him to go to the city that is filthy pagan worshipers. They don't love God. They worship gods, other gods. They worship actually a god of fish. I mean, they're so far from the sea, from the Mediterranean or the other one. But they're worshiping the god of fish. All right? God says to Jonah, go to those people and preach to them because their wickedness has arose so much, I'm going to destroy them. Go do something. And Jonah here is a popular prophet in Israel. You know what that means to be a popular prophet in Israel? People respect you. You get to advise the king of Israel. You are invited to the big parties. You're a really popular guy. And so Jonah is thinking, if I go to those people, what will my people say of me? They will start. Remember when Paul went to Gentiles, what were they saying about him? They were saying negative things. What are you doing with the Gentiles? What are you doing with those pagan God worshipers? If God wants to save those people, he should bring Nineveh to Israel. Besides, we got a good temple, church. We got a great church. We got a great band that David started. Andre in our case or whatever. And, we got a great, why don't people come here? Why do I have to go there to their filthiness? Why do I have to go to Nineveh? So instead of obeying the word of God, and listen, notice that God cares for people. Although they are worshipers of other gods, although they have nothing to do with him, want nothing to do with him, turning their back on him, living in a paganism and filthiness, he says, I want to save them. Go preach to them. And Jonah says, I am not going. So he gets on a ship, and let's read this. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid him the fare and went down into it. Let's start showing that film. Pirates of Caribbean. Yeah. So he ran from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. And there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. That's the best video we could find. There was no Jesus on the boat video, so we had to go with this one. Then the sailors were afraid, and every man cried out to his own God. And they threw cargo out of the ship to lighten the load. So notice, they're throwing out things so the load, because they're drowning. But Jonah had got down into lowest parts of the ship and laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know from whose this trouble has come upon us. Who's responsible for this storm? Why is this storm happening to us? So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us. That's Jonah, but it's not Jonah. It's kind of a Jonah. They're going to get, yeah, see? It's because of her. Yeah, they're going to throw her out of the ship. Okay, we can.
And now we present Amazing.
Okay, we can turn the sound off now. So they throw Jonah. You get the point. They throw Jonah out in the sea. And where's the scripture, man? It went too fast. So they picked up Jonah and throw him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. Then the man feared God exceedingly and offered sacrifices. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of fish 3 days and three nights. All right. How was that? All right. Turn the lights back on. Thank you. All right. Storm happened to good people. Point number one, storms happen to good and bad people at the same time. Now, some of you may have been in church where they taught you, or maybe a TV preacher taught you, if you send me an offering, you will never go through anything in your life. That's not what we teach here, and that's not what the Bible is teaching us. Do you remember last week, Jesus was a perfect man of God, Son of God, was healing, doing miracles, and when he was passing from one side of the Sea of Galilee to another, a storm arose and came against them. So this is a lesson that storms will happen to good people as well as bad people. So if you're a good person, you can't just live closing your ears and say, I don't hear anything, I don't know anything, storms won't happen to me, I'm blessed. And yeah, you're blessed, but you'll still go through the storm. I remember when I was going through the storm in my business, and I went through quite a few of them. Remember about 8 years ago, Tanya and I were just married, and suddenly everything was going great. Our business was growing, and I was so busy like never before. And suddenly an insurance company calls me and says, "You got 1 month left, we're dropping you." For no reason. And I was like, where am I going to find that kind of insurance? Because the type of insurance for my business is a specialty. Now it's more available, but then it was like one company had it. And I remember going through the storm. And I remember driving on Highway 11 going home, and it was so bright outside, but inside of my soul was darkness. Have you ever been in the type of situation where everybody's laughing, the sun is shining, the birds are singing, but inside of your soul, it's darkness. That's the storms in our life. But God, I'm a tither. What is going on? But God was doing something in that storm, through that storm in me. And so what happened was, God was breaking me from my pride, from me being, I can do this, I'm all that, to the point where I said, God, okay, so I'll lose everything. I'll live in a one-bedroom apartment. How bad can it be? I'll lose my house, I'll lose my cars, but I'll still have you. I'll still enjoy life, even if I live under the bridge. I'm okay with that. And if you're a business person, you will go through a storm like that. That's a responsibility of a business. Maybe your body gets attacked. I remember I almost cut my finger off. I know I'm telling you all these stories, but I almost cut my finger off. And that was just, I'm like, what am I going to do? Right? So you go through the storms and Satan comes to you and says, listen, you will never make it. You're done. You it's over with. You will live under the dumpster or in a dumpster. That's it. Storms will come. But in that storm, God was speaking and saying, who is your provider? Who is your protector? Who's your finances? Who's your blessing? If you lose everything and you have me, you got everything. But if you lose me and you got everything, you what if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? You can be a millionaire and be so miserable that you could be jealous of a poor person who's happy and content with life. Yeah. And some of you are like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. So storms will happen to good and bad people alike. It happened to Jesus. It happened to Paul. Do you know that Paul was doing missionary work and he was shipwrecked 3 times? One day he said, I spent 3 days in the deep of the sea, meaning he was floating on some kind of a plank or some kind of a piece of ship. Storms came to good people. Amen. So, point number two. Storms can be caused by God or Satan. This is important for you to recognize who is this storm coming from. Let me read from Jonah. Book of Jonah. Chapter 1 verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. You're like, no, God will never send a storm my way. It's the devil. No. God will send storms into your life. But God doesn't always send storms into your life. Sometimes storms can be sent by the devil. When Paul was doing the will of God, when Jesus was doing the will of God and the storm came, who do you think sent that storm? The devil. Do you remember Jesus was going from one side, last week we talked about, to another side? The devil didn't want him to make it to the other side. Why not? Because on the other side, there was a man who was demon-possessed, who had a legion inside of him. And Bible says when Jesus started casting him out, he says, do not cast us out from this country. So this demon who lived in this man, which is a legion, which is 6,000 demons, and demons are like flies sometimes, but they are bigger and smaller, depends on in authority. So that's why so many demons were living in one man. He was so strong, Bible says, that they would tie him up with chains, but he would rip him up. Sometimes demon possession gives people power. Many times it makes them weak. But sometimes it gives them supernatural power, like this man. And Bible says he was controlling that whole region. He was keeping it in fear. Demons were controlling that whole country. And when Jesus came there, and we will study that in the next series, he cast that demon out. So guess what? That storm arose from the devil because he knew that if Jesus showed up to the other side, he will throw out those demons, and the authority of over that nation, over that population, will be broken by. And what we know is that that man, after he was healed, he became a preacher. He wanted to actually follow Jesus. Jesus said, no, 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 you're not going with me. You're going over there. You're going to go preach to your family, relatives, and your nation of the good things that I've done. So storms do come from Satan. Principle, when you are doing the will of God and you encounter the storm, that storm is not necessarily from God. It could be sent from Satan. The disciples on the boat with Jesus, they were fearing, right? And fear is not from God. Notice another storm. Jonah is sleeping through the storm. Why isn't he fearing? Okay? There's difference. And so they're fearing. They're full of fear. What are we going to do? I don't know what to do. What, you know, and Jesus wakes up and says, peace, be still. He rebukes, in another translation, says the storm. So that storm was from the devil. The storms that came against Apostle Paul, Peter, when they were thrown into jail, some of them were killed, some of them were persecuted by religious people. Those storms were sent by the devil. Jesus was crucified. Why? Bible says if the devil knew what Jesus would have done on the cross, what Jesus did on the cross, he would never crucify him. So who was this storm of crucifixion was from? The devil. Devil sent a storm wanting to kill Jesus. He thought he had victory, but 3 days later he was wrong. So when you're doing the will of God and storms come into your life, you need to rejoice. You need to be in peace like Jesus and sleep. And if you do wake up, say, peace, be still. When the devil comes to your family, to your life, and or it attacks your body, you need to say, I'm doing the will of God. I can't afford to be sick. You need to get out of my life. You need to be quiet and be still. You're done. You can't rage in my body. You can't rage in my mind. You can't rage in my family. You can't rage in my business. You cannot. I forbid you in Jesus' name. So when storms come from the devil, most likely you are doing the will of God. Would you agree? Okay. Number two, point B. Some storms come from God. In the story of Jonah, Jonah was a prophet, but he never really got it. That's the truth. Anyway, the storm that was in the life of Jonah was sent by God. You know, Bible says that for those people who God loves, he is like a father, punishes them, chastises them. So when God loves you, sometimes he will send a storm to get your attention. Sometimes we're like Jonah. We're running away from him, willingly or unwillingly. Have you ever ran from God willingly? I have. But I also ran from him unwillingly, meaning I was stuck in a rut of life. And I was just getting farther and farther and farther. And I was like, Lord, I'm trying to pray. I'm trying to get close to you. But this addiction or this thing is just pulling me back. And sometimes God sends a storm because he loves me, because he loved Jonah. And he shakes him up. And Jonah is running to God. Let me give you an illustration, a visual illustration that comes to my mind. Imagine a shepherd is walking through the valley. Right? He's walking through the valley and sheep are all around him. Once the sheep, and he stops in a valley, let's say, and sheep starts feeding and some rebellious ones start kind of, you know, going away from him. And so what happens is the wolves are usually on the outskirts, watching through the forest, watching behind the rock, watching behind the stone. And so the shepherd knows that there's wolves there, but he chooses to be still. And what happens is the sheep that come close, the wolves naturally try to attack, right? So this is the shepherd. The sheep must be close around to him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We're like sheep. In the Bible, we're represented. The Lord is a shepherd. God is shepherd. We're like sheep. I know it maybe sounds like it's lowly or help me out, the word, to be a sheep. But compared to him, who he is and who we are, I'm okay with being a sheep. I'm okay with that. And so first we go around, you know, eating this green grass, you know. But then we kind of look and we see grass greener on the other side. You know how it is, and we're like, and here comes the wolf. Ah! Right? And then fell out. If you're really stubborn, you go here and you try to fight the wolf. You try to break through the barrier. And so that's what God does. Sometimes he sends a storm to bring us back closer to him. Listen, people don't come to God because their life is perfect. Nuh-uh. We didn't come to God because our life was perfect. Most people come to God because they are in the storm. And instead of fighting the storm on their own, they come. I came to Jesus. Some of you came to Jesus. Most of you came to Jesus. And that's the safest place. Okay? So some storms come from God to get your attention. If you're going in the wrong direction, to stop you, to bring you back closer to him. So if you're experiencing a storm that God sent into your life, don't fight it. Repent, turn around, and go back to him and say, Lord, I walked away. I need you. Come back into my life. Amen? And that's what Jonah did in this story. When he was on a boat, he was sleeping. And notice that by him sleeping in a storm, by him being in a boat, other people are suffering. Just know this, if you are sleeping in a boat that you're not supposed to be in, somebody is suffering. Your family is suffering. Your friends are suffering. Your parents are suffering. Somebody is paying the price. Notice, these sailors were throwing out the goods. They were throwing out grains. Maybe they were throwing out goats or something, whatever they had on that boat. They were throwing them out to lighten the load. Now in our modern day boats, we have the pumps that would pump up the water. But in those days, you can only get so much water out of the bottom of the ship by hand. Amen. But if the storm is so big that it's, I wanted to show a picture of a perfect storm. Maybe next week, the video of the perfect storm. But you cannot. We were actually on the Lake Erie with my uncle and his engine. A pump stopped working because there was no electricity, and the boat started filling with water, and we got buckets, and it almost, it was this much from the batteries to go over to, and if the water would have touched the batteries, it would drain them, like, fast, and the boat would have went, and I'm like, great, we're one time on a lake in like 5 years, in this lake, and we're gonna drown. I know we can swim, but I got Junior with me, you know? I know we got vests, you know, we're about 3 miles away from the shore, but still, it's not that much. Somebody will pick us up, but we don't want to drown a boat, right? So we got buckets, and we barely got it, and he connected it again, and thank God it didn't drown. I got stories, true stories. All right, so you got to be careful who is in your boat, who is in your life. Maybe you got a Jonah in your life, and things will start going wrong. You will be in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's not your storm, but because you have somebody who's running from God, you're getting in trouble with them. But Jonah is sleeping. What would make a man sleep when he's running from God? What's that? Drugs? He got drunk, maybe? You know, once we're running from God, let's just go all the way. You know, let's just run from him. Yeah, Joanna told me this week, she said, I think Jonah was doing, closing his ears and go acting like, I don't hear you, God. I don't hear you. I don't care. I'm just sleeping here. I don't care. Right? Maybe that's what he was doing. Right? When we're running from God, sometimes his voice is so loud, speaking through our conscience, but we're like, I don't hear you. I'm just going to get drunk. So I really don't hear you. I'm going to smoke a little bit so I can relax this. There's a storm in here. I don't like it. Oh, hallelujah. Me and Jesus are good, man. We're good. And so, but somebody was suffering. Somebody was suffering. If you're running through the storm, your family will suffer. Stop running from God. And Jonah says, if he was on the shore, and at first I looked at Jonah, I was like, Jonah, couldn't you just pray and repent and say, God, listen, forgive me. As soon as I get to Tarsus, I'll take the ship back. But then I thought about it. Sometimes you have to jump out of the boat. Sometimes you're in a wrong relationship and you have to jump out. Yeah. Sometimes you're in a wrong neighborhood and you just have to leave. Sometimes you have the wrong group of friends, and instead of saying, let's just finish this nicely, you just have to leave and say, I'm done. I'm out. I'm jumping out. That's what Jonah did. He jumped out. And it's like, why would you do it in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, in the middle of the storm? He knew that it was his fault. And he knew that God was speaking to him. And he said, throw me out of the boat and the sea will be calm. And as soon as he was thrown out of the boat, just like in the day of Jesus, which is 750 years later, Jesus lived, that the sea was totally calm. Some of you need to just, now, if you're married, some of you are like, I'm going to jump out of this boat. Oh, no, you won't. I'm not preaching that. Oh, don't start with me. You're married. If you jump, both of you jump together. Because I know how some people think. Well, Pastor gave me permission. I think the Lord said in a sermon, it was prophetic, I need to divorce. No. Shut up. Don't even let the devil, because devil will tell you, I need to quit my job. No. Just hold on. It's a principle. Don't do anything that God is not telling you to do. Personally, this is a general message, but God will speak to you personally. Amen. And so Jonah jumps off this boat because he recognizes that he is going against the will of God. And God wants to save a nation. God wants to save a city that has 120,000 people, which is a big city of that day. 120,000 people. Notice, I know that Stephen Hawkins and other atheists will tell us that God is a hater and a megalomaniac and all these big words, that he hates people, that he's a racist, he's a sexist, he's all this God. But notice, he cares for people who don't worship him, who don't serve him, who actually serve the demons, who are his enemies. And he cares about them so much that he turns them around. God wants to turn your life around so he can reach others. He wants your life to be the light. But if you're running from him, you're not in the light. You're in the darkness. And he can't use you. Although, the interesting thing is, when Jonah jumped off the ship and the sea was calm, listen to what it says. The man who was on that ship feared the Lord exceedingly and offered sacrifices to him and took vows. They made vows. They said, God, vows means I'm going to serve you forever. If you save me through this storm, If you stop this storm, I'm going to serve you forever. That's what a vow is. Now, don't go making any vows yet or anything like that. God says, you know, let your yes be yes and no be no. Don't make promises to God you can't keep. There's a lot of people who are in prison who make promises to God. Don't make promises to God in prison. You say, Lord, that's why you got in prison, because you really wasn't in control of your life. Right? So don't make promises. A lot of prisoners make promises, as soon as I get out, I'll serve you. And they don't. And then their words haunt them and put them back in prison. Just say, God, by the grace of your son, Jesus, I will be better. I can't do this on my own. Help me. Amen. I'm almost done. So Jesus was sleeping in the storm because he was tired doing ministry. Jonah was sleeping in the storm because he was running from God. One is sleeping because he's doing ministry. One is sleeping because he's disobedient. So today, you got the message? You got the point? I'm not going to make it any longer than I have to today. That's it. That's my message today. If no two things, storms can come from God and storms can come from Satan. Recognize who your storm is from.